If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where the Lakers, after a rocky up and down road trip, finally got the road monkey off their backs and got a much needed feel-good win to close everything out. Even doing so against some of the ghosts of Lakers past, and by ghosts I mean Dwight Howard, Kent Bazemore, and the White Mamba himself, Ryan Kelly. So that made things all the more satisfying. Winning Wednesdays for the Lakers so far, I guess. So Tommy, as our good friend MWP would say, do you also I love basketball?
I love basketball.
Yeah, and more specifically, we also love I love Lakers basketball, or we love Lakers basketball. All that to say, the Lakers won. They got their second win of the season after winning against the Houston Rockets last week on Wednesday as well, beating the Atlanta Hawks 123-116, and boy, what a game it was tonight. Tommy, how you feeling?
I am feeling great.
You sound like you're 85 years old right now. I almost baited you into using the L word, but I'm glad you compose yourself right there. So yeah, keep going.
Yeah, no, it was a great game. I've been active. You know, we referenced this Facebook thread that we have constantly, but I've been active in the thread the last few games after the game, with my comments on how it's like you expect these kinds of losses, but it's still frustrating. And it's like awesome that they were able to take everything that seemed like everything that didn't fall the right way the last couple of games finally fell the right way in this game. And we were finally able to win one. And it's just good to break the seal on road victories, so they'll hopefully be less nervous.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Great way to cap off what was initially a pretty frustrating road trip, because we were so close yet so far, so it's nice to see them get over that hump. Before we get started, once again, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, the more times Timofey Mozgov will randomly continue to look like a giant hipster on the bench whenever he sits due to injuries. How did you like his black cotton blazer and trendy frames tonight, by the way?
I thought the frames were okay. It just did not look like him. You know what I mean? Like, cause he's still got that like same hairstyle. And by hairstyle, I mean, his hair is just kind of there. You know what I mean? It doesn't do anything. I thought it was pretty funny actually, but, he didn't look that bad.
I will say that I do like the comfy yet still kind of classy look with the black cotton blazer. If I could get one of those, I'd love to wear that at work, cause it looks comfy.
What if he was wearing sweatpants to go with that?
Maybe. Also, did your Spectrum Sports feed cut out at some point?
Mine did not. Did yours?
Okay, yeah, I think mine did, and so I had to switch over to the Spanish telecast. And it was so funny, because right when I switched over, of course, Lou Will was doing an amazing play, and the Spanish announcer, I didn't know they had this nickname for him. So Lou Will hits this crazy shot, and the play-by-play guy goes, "Oh, Lucifer!" And I was like, what? Lucifer? That is a new one. That's amazing. And then his partner announcer, he was doing that weird thing where they'd be speaking Spanish really quickly, but then all of a sudden slow down and say the American names with an American accent. He was like, "Bonos puntos para Brandon Ingram." So yeah, if you ever get a chance to, if you're not a native Spanish speaker and you ever get a chance to tune over to the Spanish telecast, I'd encourage you to check that out for a little bit, because it's pretty entertaining. With that said, let's just get into this game. So, you know, Mozgov was out tonight with an eye contusion. He got hammered in the face repeatedly against the Pacers. Yeah. Hopefully he's okay. Obviously he looks pretty good on the bench. And I have to say, his face looks a lot more Quasimodo-ish, at least last night, from Hunchback of Notre Dame after getting it all smacked up. But hopefully he'll be good and okay. And in his stead, Zubat started, which was pretty cool. And I thought he did pretty well, at least to start the game off. Yeah, what are your thoughts overall from this game, your overarching thoughts?
So my overarching thoughts are, it's nice to see Luke settle into a rotation of guys that he can trust. We're still playing 10 deep. And if you look at the minutes distribution, the only guy who played over 30 was Russell. So I'm very, very, very pleased with this minutes distribution. You know, we're not a team that has Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum all in their primes. Like, we need guys to spread the minutes around and put guys in positions to where they're most active. One thing that you really have to appreciate, in my opinion, is, you know, you can give Lou Will, first of all, in the entire time we've had Lou Will, I don't remember, I mean, I'm sure he had consecutive good games last year, but I don't, like, to have two consecutive games where he was a contributor passing, scoring, shot over 50%, was making threes, was playing defense, like, two consecutive games for him, you know, like, he's a journeyman. I mean, like, I guess he's not really a journeyman, but he's like a prototypical bench guard, you know what I mean? He's going to be pretty inconsistent. He's going to have games where he comes in and shoots 8 for 13 and scores 25 points and then followed up with like a 3-point game. So where does that come from? In my opinion, it comes from Luke Walton plays, like, knows how to distribute these minutes. You know what I mean? Lou Williams came in the first half. He didn't do anything. He played like 5 minutes in the first half, I swear. I'm not looking at like the half by half breakdown, but I could have sworn in the first half he only played like five, six minutes. He didn't really do anything. And then the second half, he, you know, except draw a foul for 3 free throws, which he like always does. But the second half he comes in and then Luke is like, okay, Clarkson's playing well, but look, Lou Williams is a veteran guard. He knows how to handle the ball. He can handle the ball in crunch time, and he is not afraid of hitting and taking and making big shots. I'm going to ride it out with Lou Williams. So what is the, you know, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is this fool had like one of the best games. He, you know, this is like a really good game for him statistically across the board. 18 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. He did all of this in 23 minutes. If this was a Byron Scott team, this guy would have logged 35 minutes in this game. You know what I mean? But it's, what does that tell you? That tells you that there's some sort of thought process being involved here in terms of like, how can we get guys on the floor in opportunities with lineups and in opportunities where they can succeed? And Lou was succeeding and showing that he could handle the ball. And because of that, we didn't have to play Calderon and Huertas, who are fine, but they sort of hurt us a little bit defensively. And surprisingly, Lou Williams, I think, is a better defender than both of those two guys. overall thoughts, I'm just like, it's all coaching. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we're winning these games because of coaching. We're worse than all of these teams that we've played on the road, theoretically on paper, but we're winning, or we're staying competitive because of coaching. And tonight we won because of coaching.
Sorry. And yeah, to butt in and to go off your topic of minutes, you know, I did a bad thing today, Tommy. I did that thing where I engaged on Twitter.
Oh, no.
I engaged.
Oh, I saw this, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes right in line with what you said. And this guy, not to call him out or anything, but if you want to look at his timeline, at ratingthrees.com, he posted this asinine, like, tweet that said, "Where's the outrage like last season? Is Luke hindering development of the youth? Why is he holding back the prospects? Play him 40 minutes per game, right?" And then I guess he's kind of being tongue-in-cheek, but then he goes so far as to show a picture of 2015 and 16's minute breakdown for D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, and Julius Randle. So last year, Russell averaged 28 minutes, Clarkson 32, and then Randle 28 minutes. And then he shows this year's, which is a four games, you know, it's only 4 games, but he shows the minute breakdown, and it's like Russell only has 27 minutes per game, Clarkson only has 27 minutes per game, and Randle only has 27 minutes per game. And he's kind of like, why isn't anybody outraged this year that they're only getting 27 minutes per game? And I just looked at that and like my head exploded. Like, I had to engage because I was like, this is so devoid of context. And the other thing is, this guy has 11,000 followers, so I was like, I have to say something for the good of this earth. I was like, no, the main difference is Luke Walton, with these minute distribution, is getting the most out of his players in that short time span. Right. Larry Nance, 25 minutes, 14.7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. Yeah. Jordan Clarkson, 23 minutes tonight, 16 minutes, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. Like you said, Lou Williams, 23 minutes, 18 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell only plays 31 minutes, but he has 23 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. I mean, he's getting the absolute optimal performance from these guys. Whereas last year, Byron, you could play the guys like 35 minutes, and he'd usually play the wrong guy, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't even get this amount of production. And the thing is with Byron last year was, it was not only the minutes, it was a combination of the minutes and the arbitrary rotations that he'd put out there, which didn't make sense. Yep. I mean, this whole road trip, outside of maybe the Oklahoma City game, which they were in the game in the last 4 minutes, mm-hmm. those rotations Luke is putting out has made sense and that has actually produced every single time. We've been in every single game, and we ended up winning this one as well, which shows you that he's actually tinkering with the units. You know, we've seen so many different iterations of guys, and somehow usually when you do that, that throws people off rhythm and whatnot. One night you have Calderon playing, tonight you don't see him play at all, but Luke is doing something right here. Do you want to respond to that minute thing at all?
Oh, the minute thing is ridiculous. Well, first of all, like, you don't even have to. It's sad that you have to bring this up in this day and age, because you'd hope that people would be more sophisticated than this. But 4 games is the sample size that we're going off of this year so far. So that in and of itself is ridiculous, because obviously in the last game, D'Angelo Russell was in foul trouble. So like, he played 19 minutes in the entire game because he couldn't stay on the court. He was in foul trouble. Like, what do you want him to do? That's why a small sample size throws your numbers off. And pretty much every other game, he's played between 28 and 31. Yep. But anyway, it's like you said, it's rotations with a purpose. It's not just like, oh, 6 minute mark, now's the time that I point over to the bench and signal Clarkson to come in, because that's the time he comes in. And then, you know, at the 4 minute mark, then I bring in so-and-so. And then at the start of the second quarter, I bring in so-and-so with no rhyme or reason. It's just like, mm-hmm. this is what it is. This is what we practiced. This is what I'm going to do. With Luke, it's like, you're never really worried about anything that's happening on the court. Like, somebody gets injured in the middle of the game, okay, I'm sure Luke is going to choose the most logical person to put in to replace them. You know what I mean? And he always does. He pretty much always delivers. Like, it's very rare that I'm watching a game and I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, it's time for so-and-so to come back in, or it's time for – or he's waiting a little bit too long. And you know, it happens, but it's like he's doing it. His rotations are like – I don't want to say they're like perfect, because nobody's perfect, right? But it's just like, for the last 3 years, watching Byron Scott for 2 years and Mike D'Antoni run everyone to the ground for 1 year, it's such a breath of fresh air to have a guy who comes in and just does things that make sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he's adapting. He's like completely alert. I mean, I don't want to get too off topic because we're talking about minutes, but
right.
it all feeds into like, I'm very, very fine with the minutes distribution. Like you said, Larry Nance Jr. played 26 minutes. This fool put up 9 shots in 26 minutes because he was playing 26 minutes. And I bet you Luke told him after the last game, like, hey, man, you're playing really great. Like, when you have those open mid-range shots, take them, because you shot – Larry Nance was the third highest shooting, you know, rookie last year.
Yeah.
You know, you shot over 50% last year. Yeah, a lot of those are dunks and you know, shots around the rim. But you can hit the – he showed us, like, very clearly he could hit the mid-range shot. So take those shots, and he does. And so he plays only 26 minutes, quote-unquote only. But he puts up 9 shots, which is, like, more than he would ever put up, you know, in most games last year. I think, you know, in the last game he put up 10 or something, or in one of the last 2 games. So it's just – it's like you said. I think you were absolutely right. It's the way they're getting these minutes and what they're being asked to do with those minutes that that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and, you know, last point on this topic is that this year we have so many competent guys, whereas last year, even though we had the same sort of group, Byron Scott was not using them in a competent way.
Exactly.
But we have even more so good guys, even more good guys this year. And so, you know, the guy, his last tweet to me was, question, if D'Angelo is still averaging around 27 minutes and Ingram is averaging less than 28 minutes come late December, are you going to hammer Luke? And I was like, no, I will not. If they're going to play this way and they look this good on
exactly.
the court and are going to win, I will have no complaints whatsoever. Who cares if these guys are all averaging under 30 minutes if they're still getting their points? I mean, our pace is so quick these days, it's not going to matter at all. And this is
exactly
essentially what the Golden State Warriors have been doing, you know? So.
Exactly. Like, Steph Curry averaged, like, this is the MVP of the NBA. And I mean, I want to pull up his exact number so it doesn't sound like I'm speculating, but I want to say it was like he averaged 30 minutes or 31 minutes per game last year. But let me pull it up just so we can be 33 minutes. This is the MVP of the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, he averaged 30 points a game. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, when you have a team like us where we don't really have a star per se, but we have a lot of guys who are pretty good. You know, we have guys that we project to be stars, hopefully, in Ingram in like 3 years, or like D'Angelo maybe in a couple years, or he'll show flashes here and there. But we don't have currently anyone who's like a star. So when you're in that situation, and it's funny because if you go back and listen to what we were saying all last season, we were always saying, why is Byron playing 9 guys? Why is Byron playing 8 guys? Like, these guys are not that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, when they're not that good, you put them on the floor in positions where they can maximize what they're good at and then get them the hell out of there and put somebody else in who can maximize what they can do. Brandon Ingram, I love this guy. He's going to be great. You know, he had a great, like, he played very well defensively tonight. I really appreciated it. You know, he's sort of figuring out his way around this new, like, point forward role that Luke is trying to put him into. But he played 22 minutes and scored 3 points. You know what I mean? Do we want this guy playing 35 minutes in a game that we could win? Like, not at this point in the season. Maybe eventually we'll want him there when he's more comfortable and he's contributing. But tonight, put in Swaggy P. And guess what? Swaggy P, just because he was shooting hot, he didn't play 40 minutes. He played 26. And he came in, you know, he subbed in a late sub for Brandon Ingram around the 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter. And he came in and hit that clutch three that, like, iced the game, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's all about, like, putting guys in a position to build their confidence so that, like, Brandon Ingram's going to get comfortable with what he's doing. And slowly, slowly over time, it's going to go up, 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 up. Pretty soon, we're going to close our eyes, open our eyes, and this fool's going to be, you know, averaging 15 points a game and shooting very well and not making any mistakes, turning it over. And we're going to be like, how the hell did that happen? And it's just because he was brought along slowly and he wasn't thrown out there and said, like, hey, all your teammates are counting on you. Go lose this game for us in the fourth quarter so you could feel really bad about yourself, you know?
Right, exactly. And, you know, like, what Byron would do last year would be, he'd have a stretch where it would be called the Jose Calderon stretch, where if Jose Calderon plays, Calderon will play a good 15, 18 minutes for the next 10 games. Luke Walton this year is like, Calderon played the last game, but I'm going to probably talk to him tonight and tell him the game plan beforehand and say, hey, Lou Will's got it going tonight. Jordan Clarkson's got it going. We're going to leave you on the bench tonight. Is that okay? And that's exactly what happened. There's so much adaptability to it, and you just have to appreciate that from Luke Walton. And you have to assume that he's communicating with these guys properly when he makes these abrupt changes. Right,
exactly. Where
Byron would do the same thing, but the guys would be like, oh, I had no idea this was happening, you know. Yep. So it's amazing. And so to go back into the actual basketball in game, Atlanta coming into this game was the number one defensive team in the NBA. Yep. Granted, it was only like 4 or 3 games, but they were number one defensively. And the Lakers put 123 on them and shot 53%.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. And, you know, we've been talking about the last few games how the Lakers' main problem outside of defense was just the inability to hit open shots. Tonight, you saw what happened once they actually finally got over the hump and were able to hit open shots. And it all came together for them at the very end here. And once they took the lead off of that Brandon Ingram three, they never let it go. It was just about finally getting over that actual hump. You know, we were talking about so many times, it seems like in these games, the Lakers' main problem is that they have these really good stretches and small spurts, but they haven't been able to do it, put everything together for a sustained period, which is why we see such drastic swings. Obviously, that lends itself to them being young and inexperienced and also undisciplined. But how many times the last 3 or 4 games did we see the Lakers go down by 7 to 9 points and then cut it to 4 points and then never get the lead? And then immediately that would go back to 8 points. And so that's just a sign of a young, inexperienced team, but also just a sign of, they've been missing wide open shots
exactly
recently. And also the turnovers were killing them. But tonight they got over the turnover hump. I think that was the that was the most frustrating part of the first 3 quarters tonight.
Oh, for sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. And again, credit Luke. I cannot credit this guy enough. First play. I mean, granted I was caught up at this point, but I'm pretty sure you can correct me if I'm wrong. First play of the second half, D'Angelo Russell throws like a completely stupid cross-court pass with like nobody was like moving, like he's just like his brain was completely turned off. It's like he was playing NBA 2K and he's like, all right, I'm just gonna push X and it's gonna go across the court to that guy over there.
Yeah.
And Bazemore was just sitting right in the lane and just was like, okay, I'll take this one for a wide open dunk on the other end. Luke immediately called a timeout. And when these guys came back out of that timeout, he looked D'Angelo's body language and everything looked completely different. I guarantee you they went over to the, because like this is what happens when you have a coach who gets respect of his players. I guarantee you they went over to the sideline and Luke said, D'Angelo, what in the hell are you doing? Are you going to play like an idiot? If you are, I'm going to put somebody else in who actually wants to play, because look at all the guards we have on this roster and they all want to see some time on the court. Are you going to play or are you not going to play? Are you a leader or are you not a leader? What are you doing? And yep. This fool comes back. I he must have had like one turnover the entire rest of the half after that. And he finishes the game with 23 points and 8 assists. So it's like, oh my God. And it's like he wasn't really playing defense, I felt like, in the first half that well. And then in the second half, by the time the game, I mean, at least two, if not all three of his blocks were in the second half. So yeah, this coaching is just, it's so good.
By the way, really impressive Luke Walton impression there. Much better than Allen's, so good job. Points all well taken. The coaching was great, even in spite of the very frustrating up and down, you know, turnovers the Lakers had. And then obviously the other big weakness was defense. You know, the Lakers were getting beat on, like, side out of bounds plays. You know, the team right now is just very undisciplined. And I want to say one thing, though, to caveat the amount of points they're giving up to the other team. I know most people would just look at the crazy amount of points that other teams have been able to put on us lately and say it's just terrible defense. And for the majority, that is the case. But also, we have to remember that the Lakers are playing at a much faster pace this year. And so that also lends itself to why it seems like teams are, like, scoring a bunch. They're just naturally going to do that. But yes, the Lakers are playing pretty bad defense. They did bottle it up a bit in the fourth quarter, obviously. We had some amazing defensive plays in the fourth quarter, amazing to see. But yeah, I'm sure we'll get more into other aspects of the gameplay, but let's just go right down the line in terms of the players, the most important players tonight. What do you think of Zubats, even though he only played 18 minutes? You know, Dwight Howard ate him up. Obviously, Dwight Howard had 31 points, 11 rebounds, but at least at the very outset, Zubats played pretty well. He had that sky hook. Looked really nice. And then on another play, Dwight Howard tried to, like, reverse lay it up on him or something, and Zubats was just maintained his position pretty well. But quickly on Zubats, what did you think of his first at Lakers start?
I thought he looked fine. I mean, it's the little hook shot he did. It was just, it's nice to see that this kid is, he's so young. What is he, 19 or 20? He's so young, and he's afraid of the moment. Obviously he wouldn't be, but he's not terribly afraid of the moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he comes in, hits a little hook shot, hits a little, like, shows a little soft touch on, like, a little put back, or somebody gave him a pass. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was in the lane, like in traffic. And he puts it up and puts it in. And this guy is going to be a good player, man. I'm really excited about this. Cause can you imagine when, like, Timothy Mozgov, even if Mozgov can stay relatively healthy for the next 3 years as Zubats develops and Zubats can start to take some minutes from Tark Black, oh my God, it's going to be like having a 7-footer who can run the floor, set screens, hit soft, you know, jump shots, has really good touch. He does a lot of things very well. Obviously he can block shots, as we've seen. So my main complaint with him, which is like, how this is his first NBA game ever, but and he was playing a little bit scared in the second half, and I thought Stu was making a really good point. And I'm talking mostly about the third quarter, but Dwight was getting dunk and layup and dunk and layup, and Stu was making the point that, like, you have 4 fouls, use all 6. You know what I mean? Like, you might not play in the fourth quarter anyway. Like, we have Tariq Black, we have Larry Nance, we have Randall, we have Thomas Robinson. Like, we've been closing out games with a small ball unit anyway. But so if you're gonna be on the floor, use your fouls. And so that's my main complaint that I had about him. Was in the third quarter, I felt like he was playing a little bit scared, and he was like, he didn't want to be too physical with Dwight because he didn't want to get more fouls. But you can't really blame him.
Yeah, he looked like a deer in headlights kind of thing, and he even gave up. He was fronting Dwight one moment. Oh, Dwight just had an easy like lob, and it's like that's the one thing you don't do against Dwight because he can't post up, you know. So
exactly.
But yeah, pretty good. I mean, okay start from Zubats. He'll learn. He's still growing. Next guy, really quickly, Luau Deng. So he had 13 points. 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Very solid in 26 minutes. He probably could have had a better night if he wasn't missing so many chippies like in the second half there. I think he missed like 3 or 4 like putbacks or right at the rim putbacks. Yeah, yeah. But otherwise, he did everything you'd want him to do. You know, people were saying he looked washed up a couple games ago, so it's nice to see him kind of rebound these last two games and kind of get that spark back. And I think this is all coming from him working off the rust, really. What did you think of Deng?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's working off the rust, and I think that's the big thing going on right now with him. I really like the way he's playing, just generally. He's like showing why he's worth that contract. I mean, you could argue, yeah, okay, he's overpaid. But when you have a guy who can come in, play some small ball 4, play some 3, and give you 13 and 10, 2 steals and a block, like, he very rarely, if ever, misses a defensive rotation. His long arms are like always like, it's crazy how much ground he can cover with those arms. You know what I mean? It's like on pick and rolls, he just sticks his arm out and it just mucks everything up. Yeah. So I really like that. He's been hitting threes at like his career clip, which is all you can ask for. You don't want, you know, you're hoping for better, but you just don't want any less. And I think he's hitting it about his career clip. His field goal percentage, I think, will go up. I think, like you said, he's working off some rust, so he's missing a lot of chippies. But, like, those classic Lou Will mid-range jump shots are starting to go down, and those weren't going down in the first couple of games. So I think it's going to be a really good season. If we can continue to manage his minutes, I don't know how he's playing. Like, he's definitely not playing over 30 minutes per game. I think he's playing... Let's see. He's playing.
He's probably like 25 or something.
Yeah, he's averaging 26. So to put this in perspective, he has never played. The last time he averaged below 30, he was a rookie. And last year he averaged 32 minutes per game. So if this guy can average 32 minutes per game and shoot 45% and 34% from 3 just last season, in this offense, we're like all of his threes are going to be wide open, first of all. Most of his shots are going to be wide open. We're not really asking him to do a lot defensively. And he's playing like 4 to 5 less minutes per game than he did last year. Mm-hmm. I think his body is going to hold up so much better over the course of a season. Yeah. And I think he's going to put up... It's Luke maximizing his guys. Like, he averaged 12 and 6 last year. I'm pretty sure if he plays 26 minutes per game as he's been playing so far, he can still average 12 and 6 or maybe like 10 and 6, which is fine. You know what I mean? So it's maximizing his guys, and Lou Will's a good example of that. But I like the way he's playing overall, and he seems like he's a really good leader.
Yep, I like the solid veteran presence he's been bringing off on the court the last two games. Moving on to Julius Randle, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 ferocious clutch block on Dennis Schroeder in the fourth.
This is becoming like his marquee move.
His like clutch block, because he did this against James Harden in the
fourth,
in the first win as well. So, you know, I would love that to be his signature move. Like, I don't block any shots at all until it's like 20 seconds left. Yeah. So this is the kind of game, I know this is super, goes under the radar, but this is the kind of game that I want to see from Julius, where he's okay to take a step back, you know, where 9.6 rebounds, 2 assists, but the one thing is you didn't see him do anything drastically wrong tonight, where it wasn't a train wreck kind of thing. He was just, all right, I'm gonna do what the defense gives me, gonna do what the team needs me to do, and that's it. I won't force anything as much, I won't try and take over, etc., etc. And so I just thought solid overall, a great block, he hit a off the dribble jump shot today even. So yes, more games like this where he's okay with being role player Julius Randle. What about you?
Yeah, for as young and as raw as Randle still is, the big stat for me is he played 28 minutes, which is a solid amount of minutes for him given how we're doing these rotations, and he only had 2 turnovers. This guy handles the ball a lot, you know what I mean? Like, it, and the thing is, it's not like, oh, he handles the ball a lot like D'Angelo. It's almost like, I'm not going to say it's more stressful than D'Angelo, but he's got to have like the second most stressful possessions of any player on our team. Yeah. Because his possessions are, I'm going to get the ball and just like sprint. Like that's his role, you know? And I'm glad that he's embracing that. And it's good that Luke is like, could you imagine this last year if we just told Randall, like, hey, just sprint. Like it would be completely like out of control, you know, as we saw. So for him to play 28 minutes, only have two turnovers, and I will say that one of those, it was semi-transition. I think it was the third quarter, and he threw it out of bounds. And I am going to give that one half to Swaggy P because Swaggy P didn't drop to the level of the ball. Swaggy P basically should have, I can't remember the exact floor layout, but Julius got into the paint and he elevated. And he was looking to kick it to Swaggy P in the corner, and Swaggy P didn't drop all the way to the corner. He was sort of standing in like no man's land.
Right.
And the ball just sailed out of bounds. But I'm pretty sure Randall got the turnover for that. So the fact that he played 28 minutes, handled the ball as much as he did, only had those two turnovers, I completely agree with what you said, that we love Randall because he's going to put up these games where, like a couple games ago, where he puts up an efficient 20 and 10 or so, and then gets some assists too. But when he's not doing that, for whatever reason, he doesn't get off to a hot start. His jumper, he's not feeling his jumper or mid-range game that much.
Then he becomes a liability.
Exactly. But if he can just like not become a liability during those times.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point. So all those things aren't clicking, if he can just come turn in a solid effort, hustle, play defense. We don't care about 9-6-2. I know those numbers aren't flashy, and sorry if you have them on your fantasy team, but like that's just be a solid NBA player. And tonight he was a solid NBA player. And I think, again, a lot of this is just people buying into Luke's system. Randall last year would have not accepted this kind of output. You know, he would have forced things, and because everybody in our team last year was playing like they had to justify their position on the court.
Yep.
And so for Randall, that meant taking a bunch of ill-advised shots. So like, well, I'm putting up points. So I really enjoyed what I saw from Randall.
Yep. Good on Julius. So moving on to Swaggy P really quickly. He did what Uncle P is supposed to do.
Yep.
17 points, 3 for 7, even had 2 assists, 1 steal. He was great. Hit the threes that we needed him to hit. And as usual, playing solid defense. He's even trying, you know, even when he doesn't get the defensive play, he's actually being physical. There was this play where he was on a fast break and he just totally hacked the hell out of Bazemore just so he didn't get an easy bucket, you know? So I really like what Uncle P is bringing to the table. Very solid night in, night out. Probably one of our more consistent players, which is amazing. What did you think of Uncle P?
Yeah, same. I think I mentioned this, or I can't remember if I did, and this follows in the general theme we touched on earlier about guys missing wide open shots. I don't think either of us were projecting Uncle P to, you know, over the course of an entire 82-game season, put up stats like he did in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But that being said, for the first 4 games, he was shooting 36% from the field and 32% from three. And I think both of us could, like, look, I know we're Laker fans, and maybe we were a little bit arguably we're too optimistic about like what Luke is doing for the team. But at the same time, I think we can all agree that Uncle P is like not a 32% 3-point shooter and 36% from the field. I think ultimately he's going to project right around his career numbers, which is around 37, possibly higher if he's taking good shots this year, percent from three, and then right around low 40s from the field. So you expect to see more games like this where he plays 26-ish minutes and puts up 6 for 11. The only difference, like you said, the effort has been there every night. And in terms of effort, he is one of our most consistent players so far. Mm-hmm. And the only difference tonight was the wide open shots that he was missing in the previous games were falling tonight. So this is this guy's role on this team. Put in some hustle and effort on defense and make your wide open shots. You could take as many as take 10 in a game for God. You know, if you want to take 10 threes in a game, that's fine. As long as they're wide open and you're playing defense. He also had 2 assists, which I'm pretty sure is a career high for him. So good job, Swaggy P.
Yeah. Sometimes I think Uncle P has that passing mentality too much, where he'll pass and it'll be like a turnover. But with Uncle P, you're like, oh, I guess that's okay. I mean, you're actually passing. So, I mean, everybody's bought in clearly. Moving on to D'Angelo Russell, who kind of, okay, so Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the doctor, I don't know which one's the bad one out of that. Is it is it Hyde?
I have no idea. Jekyll sounds like more harsh. Yeah, but
This is actually a pretty good question. Either way, the Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde bad version of D'Angelo is obviously the turnovers. I mean, so frustrating, dude. I think you said it best. The 2K turnovers. We have to call them 2K turnovers because that's exactly what they look like. Like, Stu Lance even said it. These turnovers are not like you're trying to make a play happen. It's D'Angelo's turnovers, they just are so lazy and lackadaisical.
It's like that his brain just shuts down.
They're not basketball plays. He had four turnovers tonight, and a good three of them, or maybe all of them, were like basketball turnovers that you'd make at the park with your friends or something. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You're like you're a professional NBA basketball player, and you can't even make a simple entry pass because you're like telegraphing the pass so clearly, like, here, it's coming, guys, and he rolls it on the floor, and it's like so ridiculous. But with that said, he rebounded, Luke gave him a pep talk, and I really liked that he took it to the basket tonight.
Yes.
He was 9-for-19, but he didn't shoot a bunch of three-pointers. He only shot three and hit one. Yep. But he had 23 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, and like you said, 3 blocks, and he really got himself going. I really like that he switched things up. He kept taking Dennis Schroeder into the paint, and he had an and one on Dennis.
Fantastic defender, by the way.
Yeah, he had like a and one on Dennis Schroeder for like a jump shot in the paint, and then he had a random, once in a while he'll pull out his lefty dunk, an and one lefty dunk on Schroeder as well. So I really liked his offensive game tonight. Also had some pretty good pick and roll plays with Larry Nance and then Julius Randle. What did you think of D'Angelo Russell tonight?
Yeah, D'Angelo, I think Lakers film room, our friend Pete Zayas has been commenting or tweeting, I should say, about how he can't really put his finger on it, but it seems like something is up with D'Angelo's shot mechanics. And it seems like outside of 18 feet, which is like for where he normally shoots, that's like so close to the basket. You know what I mean? So like, it's like outside of 16 to 18 feet, he's doing some sort of like, he's like almost shot putting. I mean, he has a weird release already, but it's like he's pushing it. He's not taking a jump. He's not taking like a shot.
Right.
And that's not like some reason to be scared, right? Because you figure ultimately he's going to correct this, you know, attribute it to any number of reasons. You know, this is a young team on the road and he's being asked to do a lot. He's still 20 years old. Let's not forget, you know what I mean? And he's being asked in his second year in the NBA and like his third year of his entire life playing point guard to like run a completely new offense. And he's the floor general. And Luke said, you are the guy, you know what I mean? You're the captain. You're going to run the offense. But like, I completely agree with you that I was so happy to see him sort of like recognize that and be like, okay, look, I have some shifty moves. Like, I'm just going to go into the paint. Once I get into the paint, who's going to block this fool? You know, it's like he can get bothered a little bit, but no guard is going to bother him because he's 6'5 with a 6'10 wingspan. And also he's a lefty, so it's awkward and guys aren't used to guarding lefties. But I thought overall he played a very, very good game. And I thought overall, I played in the first half, he played an average or below average game. In the second half, he played an excellent game. So, you know, overall, very good. But yeah, his turnovers, at least he had 4. And at least 3 of them were just like, I'm handing you the ball right now. So I think those will continue to get cut down. And one thing I would really like to see Luke do is continue to challenge and push this guy. And this is something we talked about all the time last year. My only shred of doubt that I have about D'Angelo Russell becoming an all-star or even any kind of star player is I don't know if he mentally can be there every night. And that's on Luke. This guy's 20 years old. There's plenty of time. Guys don't become stars for 3, 4, or 5 years that they're in the NBA, right? So it's on Luke, and I think he did a good job with that comment I talked about earlier at the first play of the second half. But it's on him to stay on top of D'Angelo and be like, look, I know you're very confident in yourself. I know you think you're very good, and you are very good. But you're not so good that you can take plays off mentally. You need to be one of the smartest players on the court because you're in the NBA now, and every guy on the court is as good, if not better, than you at this stage in your career. So you need to always be mentally there. There's no like, okay, well, this time I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to go through the motions. There's never going through the motions for you. You know what I mean? Every single play, you have to be 100% mentally engaged. And it's like you said, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because when you watch this fool play and it looks like two completely different guys when he's fully engaged versus when he's not fully engaged. When he's fully engaged, it's like no one can stop him, except like he might just get unlucky and miss a shot. Mm-hmm. But when he's not fully engaged, it's like, oh my God, this guy looks like a drunken sailor out there, like stumbling around the court, and he's like about to drop the ball. No confidence in his ability to handle the ball right now. So
yeah, no, I totally agree. I think Luke does a very good balancing act and job of, one, allowing D'Angelo the freedom and license to get his, you know, D'Angelo superstar kind of persona on a little bit and give him the freedom to do that, but also knowing when to pull the reins back and reminding him, like, hey, I know you like to leverage your flashy play, but sometimes that's just going to get us into freaking trouble, because your turnovers are not just turnovers. They're turnovers that lead to baskets and points, like,
very really easily. Because they're horrible turnovers.
Right. Because your teammates don't expect it. Half the time, the defense probably doesn't expect it because they're like, oh, I have the ball. So yeah, I think you're right. Luke is doing a good job so far of allowing him to be himself, which Byron didn't allow him to do, but also doing so in a constructive manner whenever he has to be hard on him, which is great. Yeah. And so far, D'Angelo has responded admirably. And like tonight, you know, he's been struggling the last few games coming back into the fourth quarter and really reestablishing himself, you know, because he's always super shaky, always super uppity, and gets tons of turnovers in the fourth and does really stupid stuff. But tonight he looked actually controlled and he hit some clutch shots and didn't get us into trouble in the fourth quarter. So that was a nice improvement to see. So good on D'Angelo. Let's move to the bench. Freaking Larry Nance, dude.
Lance Nance
is amazing. So first of all, last night against the Pacers, this fool, I want to call him Mr. Everywhere, Mr. Energy Guy, like 11 points, 5 rebounds, 6 steals, 1 block yesterday, and then tonight in only, 25 minutes, 7 for 9 from the field, hit another mid-range jump shot, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 1 block. But the stats don't even tell how good he was defensively and how he was so hustling so hard that he had a nosebleed as if he had like a superpower or something. Yeah.
He was like 11 in from Stranger Things when she gets too amped up and her nose just starts bleeding.
That is exactly what happened. He's like, coach, you're gonna put me out of like using too much of my powers. But I can't say enough good things about Larry Nance the last 2 games, and even especially tonight, where you just saw, like, when he is not tentative, and he still had his moments even where he was tentative, you know, where he had that open free throw line jump shot, and he's like, let me just drive it into 3 people for no reason. But other than that, just setting the right screens, rolling to the basket really hard, hitting that mid-range jump shot when it's open. The last game, he had a wide open 3 on the wing. Tonight he finished a nice lob layup from Jordan Clarkson. He had that crazy double pump finish off the pick and roll with D'Angelo in the third, where he shows the ball. He still shows the ball, but I guess it doesn't get him into trouble because he jumps so high, so it doesn't matter. But most of all, defense was so good. He's amazing guarding the pick and roll. There was this one play where the screen comes and Larry Nance gets switched onto Bazemore, and Bazemore drives it to the left, and Larry Nance is with him the entire play, and then even gets a block shot. I think he may have been called for a foul, which he shouldn't have, but that's the kind of energy and defensive tenacity that he brings to the table, and it's just so fun to watch. And you see that transfer to the offensive end as well, where he's like getting putbacks, dunking balls, you know, rolling to the basket really hard. Just super, more than solid tonight for Larry Nance and the last 2 games, really. What did you think of Lance Nance?
I love Lance Nance. It's just such a nice situation we have going on with both of our forwards. And you just have to hope, and I have no reason, in Byron's system, I would have all the reason to doubt this, but in Luke's system, I have no reason to doubt that they're going to, you know, either party, I'm talking about Lance and Randall, are going to get, like, frustrated with each other because they're playing about the same minutes. Like, Luke is moving them around in different positions. He's playing Randall at the five some. it seems like he's playing Lance at the five some at time, like very more like shorter stretches for Lance because he's not as strong. But he's putting his guy in positions to succeed. And you saw it, like you said tonight, he shot 7 for 9 from the field. Yeah, a lot of those were dunks and putbacks. But look, that's how this guy plays. He's a high energy guy. He's going to take high percentage shots. But when he had the opportunity to shoot a wide open mid-range jumper, he took it and he drilled it. Mm-hmm. And he just plays solid on both ends. He doesn't really make any mistakes. There's nothing else really to say. I mean, he's just so solid, and him and Randle together is just so fun to watch, because if Randle can really get this defensive stuff like drilled into his brain and at least become like a factor as a weak side shot blocker or a help man, this small ball lineup has a lot of potential, because so many teams nowadays, like, you know, you don't want to start with that lineup, but so many teams nowadays are closing with small ball lineups. So if we have a small ball lineup of our own that we can counter with, it's going to make it even better.
Yeah. And to close the game, we had Nance and Randle both out there at the same time. So point well taken. And Larry Nance, you know, at the end of the day, he is just manifest energy, pure energy manifested on the court. And it's such fun to watch, really. Moving on, Jordan Clarkson, really solid in only 23 minutes today, and he finally got his groove back a little bit. Finally hit a three-pointer after not doing so in, like, the last four games, which is crazy. But he had 16 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. He did the same thing in Indiana, where he was really good as well, and even, you know, breaking people's ankles and shaking them off and hitting J's. But tonight was more of a good all-around performance from him. Even had a steal and a block. And, you know, something that I've noticed from him this year is that I feel like he's doing a better job of hitting these really, like, he's always been good at hitting pull-up jump shots, but these days it seems like he's doing better at pulling up from anywhere, even with his feet not under him. Does that make sense? Or he's, like, fading away, but he's still hitting these crazy baseline jump shots as if he's Kobe Bryant, where in the past it used to be just standard pull-up J's. But today, like, this season at least, it looks like he's able to hit off-balance jump shots, which I think is a pretty good addition to his arsenal. And like I said, he had that nice pick and roll alley-oop to Nance in the first half, hit a three, which is good, and hopefully he'll get on one of his hot streaks moving forward. And it was really his hot stretch in the second quarter that got us back into that game where we were kind of faltering. So credit to Jordan Clarkson for getting things together there. What did you think of his game tonight?
I'm going to agree with pretty much everything you said. And my one complaint about Clarkson, other than the fact that he still hasn't been knocking down threes, and I know this guy is not going to be like one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA, or even like probably given how the game is played nowadays, he might not even be an average 3-point shooter for his position, but he can hit at least 35%. I mean, if he could hit like 35-36% in Byron's system, he should be able to hit better than 15% or whatever he's shooting from three this year in Luke's system. So I think that'll come, and that's frustrating, but I'm trying to ignore it. The one complaint I have with him, and the one reason I can't really complain that he's not getting more time on the court, is his turnovers. We get on D'Angelo for turnovers, and rightly so, but D'Angelo is at least like the primary point guard, playing the most minutes of pretty much anyone on our team and handling the ball the majority of the time he's on the floor. Jordan Clarkson is averaging 1 assist per game and 3 turnovers per game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Lou Williams was doing all kinds of crazy stuff in the fourth quarter, and like everybody in the building knew that we were trying to get him the ball, and he finished the entire game. He played the same minutes as Clarkson, and he only had 1 turnover.
Yep.
So to me, that's fairly inexcusable. I'm not asking Clarkson to be a 5 assists per game guy, but if you're going to average 1 assist per game, you have to clean up those turnovers. Like, I know we're playing at a fast pace now, and he's a little bit too bouncy. He's like a younger, I mean, he's old. He's like, I guess, old for a third year player, but he reminds me of like a very young Westbrook, almost like a 20-year-old Westbrook, who was just so wild and out of control, and he got too excited and would just like do crazy things. And I feel like that's what Clarkson is. He gets too excited, and he just like, you know, he had some plays where it's, let me drive into the lane, completely break my guy down off the dribble, drive into the lane, and then fire, jump. First of all, jump, which is ridiculous if you're not going to shoot. And then fire an over-the-head jump pass to like somebody standing 2 feet away from me, like like rocketed right into their hands, and of course it results in a turnover and stuff like that. That's one thing he has to cut back on. And the second big thing, which I'm pretty sure anyone watching could take away, is that I like that he's trying to split double teams, but he dribbles it into the paint way too much. Like, I mean, like into traffic, I should say, not into the paint. His handle, he seems smarter. I don't know what changed. I know he was working a lot with Drew Hanlon or whoever that trainer is this summer. His court awareness offensively inside the paint generally seems a lot better. Yeah. However, I think he and his touch finishing around the rim a lot better. But I think now he has so much confidence in that he's trying to get into the paint at all costs, and he doesn't take context into account. He's like, if there's four guys in there, something in his brain should be like, maybe I shouldn't go in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like he doesn't do that. So he had 3 turnovers, but honestly, it could have been like 5 easily, because there were 2 plays where he should have turned it over and it resulted in him like ending up right under the basket for like an easy layup. But like it should have been a turnover because he dribbled it in between 10 guys and it got knocked around and it somehow ended up back in his hands and he got lucky basically. So the turnovers is my number one complaint for him.
No, and I think maybe right now he's still trying to settle into that bench role. Maybe
That's fair.
Maybe it lends itself to him being like, ooh, I'm super uppity already. I'm ready to get in the game. And he tries to do a little bit too much and tries to fill up the box score in the limited amount of minutes he's getting. But at the same time, I think hopefully that ends up smoothing itself out because, yeah, I mean, his court awareness and his playmaking leaves a lot to be desired. Like the last game, maybe 2 games ago, he was throwing lobs, like wild lobs up to Timofey Mozgov as if this guy was DeAndre Jordan.
Exactly.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, so otherwise, Jordan Clarkson had a really solid game.
He just needs to
calm down a little and be okay. Because he was very helpful off the bench tonight, and he has nothing to be ashamed of, only getting 23 minutes. I'm sure that guy I was talking to would be like, oh my God, Jordan Clarkson only got 23 minutes, is going to be a problem, but he was very effective in those limited amounts, so I have no qualms about that at all.
And the nice thing is, you know, with Luke, like, if Clarkson is playing very, very well, he'll be in there for the end. You know what I mean? Think about it, if you're Luke, you need... If Clarkson and Russell were both on it and neither of them were making ridiculous turnovers in you know, all throughout the entire game, really, both of them would have been on the floor to close, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like if you're Luke, you have this guy, Lou Will, who not only is he scoring, he's getting assists and not turning it over. He won turnover the entire game. And I'm sure, like, honestly, it was probably on a play where he got fouled and they didn't call it or something. Because he has a lot of those, right, that look awkward, so they just don't call it. So if Clarkson earns the minutes, he'll get them. I know he's on the bench and he's playing low 20s right now, low to mid 20s, but he'll get up to 30 if he starts knocking down threes, number one, and starts cutting down on turnovers, number two.
Yep, and that's a good segue into Lou Will, who, you know, it's hard for me to give out an MVP tonight. I don't know whether to give it to Russell or Lou Will, which is crazy to say, but the last 2 games, like in Indiana, Lou Will had 19 points, 5 assists, and darn near won us the game in that game as well. And then tonight, in only 23 minutes, 18 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and you touched upon it earlier in the podcast, but he was Kobe Bryant. I mean, like, this the normal version of Kobe Bryant, the normal uninjured, not washed up version of Kobe Bryant. He was just under control. He was even making the right pick and roll passes to guys in the fourth quarter. Like, you could tell, like, if you ask somebody who's never watched basketball before, just say, who do you think the veteran is on this court? They would point to Lou Will, you know, because he pretty much did everything right in the fourth quarter. He was getting foul shots. He was hitting his patented 1-foot fadeaway to the left jump shot. He was hitting 3-pointers, and he was also finding guys. And he actually didn't play half bad defense tonight. I mean, he was okay tonight, which is all we need from Lou Will. We just can't have you be a layup line kind of guy. And yeah, he played amazing tonight. And he was the main reason why in the fourth quarter we not only stayed in the game, but also eventually got the lead and then never looked back from there. And that's what allowed D'Angelo Russell to come in and the other guys to really push it ahead. So what did you think of Lou Will?
So Lou Will, at this point in the season, and by this point I'm really generalizing to like the first, I don't know, 20 to 30 games, of the season, that's the point where you're expecting him to get the most minutes, because it's a young team, young guards, they're implementing a new system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, in the five games we've played so far, he has yet to play more than 27 minutes. To put this into to put this into perspective, he averaged 28 and a half minutes per game last year, which was like a near career high for him. And a lot of that was deflated. It was really for like large chunks of the season, he was averaging 30 plus. And a lot of that was deflated because he started getting way less towards the end of the season, because Byron decided this is the time of the year I eventually will. But yeah, so he played 23 very, very effective minutes. And I like everything he's doing. We had all these question marks coming into the season. Like, God, we got to trade Lou Will. Like, how is he going to fit into Luke's system? He's like a me first guy. He's currently averaging like a career high in assists, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's a very small sample size, but he's averaging like 4 assists a game. He's not turning it over really, like we said, and he's shooting career high percentages, like pretty much across the board, like free throws, three pointers, and field goals. You know, three pointers, I'm expecting those to go down because this guy's 30 years old. He's not suddenly going to become a 40% 3-point shooter, but it's just nice to see that he is adapting to the system. And it's like, Luke, I don't know what this guy is doing, but Lou Will has never really played defense in his entire career. And Luke has somehow convinced him to at least try. Like, he's getting steals. He's mixing it up in passing lanes. And he still falls asleep off the ball. And that's, you know, he is who he is. He's 30 years old. You're not going to change him on that. But all in all, very solid game. And until our young guys get more comfortable handling the ball, not turning it over, making the right reads and decisions in the fourth quarter, I'm totally fine if Lou Will is on to let him be out there. And if you're worried, like, oh, okay, so he's just going to close games, doesn't that hurt Clarkson's development? No, Clarkson played like a beast in the first game, and Lou Will only played 14 minutes. So you can count on Luke to adapt. But yeah, everything I've seen from Lou Will this entire season, I've been so impressed. Because he's playing like he hasn't really played his entire career. I mean, it's similar style, but he's just doing things that he's never done before, and it's just so interesting to see how a coach who's only like 6 years older than Lou Will can come in and like tell him like, hey, just do this, do this, do this. I'm going to play you much less than you played last year, but like, you're probably going to get the same amount of shots you always get up, and that's fine. As long as you do X, Y, and Z, and Lou Will is totally responding to it.
Yeah. And if we can get these, I'm totally fine with, you know, because 2 games ago, I was really annoyed by his play in the fourth quarter, because that's when annoying black hole Lou Will came to play. But if we can only get that black hole Lou once every 4 games or so, or 3 games, and the rest of the 3 games are amazing like this one, then I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see Lou Will on a team with an actual structure and purpose. You can see how helpful he can be to help an actual team that's trying to win as opposed to tanking.
Exactly.
And it's futile. That's where most of the frustration was coming from last year, with fans getting on Lou Will, because he was doing all this stuff in a very futile manner. But on a winning team where we're trying to win, you can see how exactly he can help a team. And Luke Walton is bringing that all about from all of these guys. So it's really great to see. And he's the one guy outside of D'Angelo, as D'Angelo learns more and more to leverage his long arms to get those foul calls, Lou Will just puts so much pressure on the team's defense, because they get frustrated with him always getting these foul calls. And then if he's not getting the foul calls, just hitting shots over them. So yeah, it's crazy when Lou Will has it going on and is also this steady offensive hand for the guys. So great job on Lou Will tonight. Lastly, we'll just end with our rookie, number 2 rookie, Brandon Ingram, who started off really, really shaky. I was worried for him when Luke would put him back in the second half, because I was like, ooh, he did not start off well. He was making really dumb turnovers. There was this one play where he drove it into the lane for a strong drive, and then all of a sudden he passed it off to some guy who was only 2 feet away from him, and I was like, for a turnover. And I was like, oh, Brandon, what are you doing? And he just looked off sync to start the game. But like you said, he rebounded. He had some nice defensive plays towards the end, also had a block. But most of all, he hit that go-ahead three-pointer in the fourth quarter very calmly, and that was great to see. And he also had 2 assists, 2 rebounds. And overall, I'm just glad to, it's, you know, it's just taking small positive things here and there from Brandon Ingram, because the last game, I thought, the last game he didn't do too well either. He only had 2 points, but tonight, I'm just glad that he was able to rebound from what I thought was a pretty horrendous start, where he really looked like a rookie. And usually you can count on Ingram to at least not do anything blatantly bad. Tonight, in the first half, I was like, okay, you just look like a freaking rookie right now. Like, get out. So it was good to see him come back, hit the go-ahead three-pointer, and just be solid with that unit to close the fourth, because he was out there in the fourth quarter till maybe like the 4 or 3 minute mark. So what did you think of Brandon Ingram?
Yeah, Brandon Ingram is like, first of all, no rookie plays well in their first month in the season, so you should just like completely wipe away everything that you see in October and November from Ingram. But it's all about taking signs, like you said. And he, I do like that Luke is trying to put him in a spot where he could play this sort of point forward role, and that'll maybe get him more integrated into the offense and make him feel like he's more a part of it, of the team. Because if he plays off the ball exclusively, he's so weak and inexperienced at this stage that he's not going to ever touch the ball. Like, he'll go long stretches of time without ever touching it. And part of getting experience is being on the floor, holding the ball in your hands, and like making decisions. And so I like that Luke has done that. I would like to see a little bit more of, okay, let's have Brandon Ingram on the floor as like a secondary ball handler, and like, let's do that once in a while, but let's also try to drop some plays to get him like open looks. In the first few games, I thought they did that, or maybe it was in the preseason that I'm thinking of, but he just wasn't knocking them down. And I think as we were, it's ridiculous to say as we progress, because we're only 5 games into the season, but as we continue to go through these games, I think his confidence is building and building. His shots don't look as like awkward as they did even in just like game one. So I hope that that they'll try to find like a little bit more of a balance in terms of getting him some looks so he could try to put up some shots, because he's going to miss a lot of shots. But we need a little bit of scoring at that position, just because you figure Lou Will and Clarkson are not going to combine for 30. I mean, maybe they will, but you figure they're probably not going to combine for 34 every night. And it would definitely be helpful to have Ingram do something at that position, because our offense is so reliant on everybody being able to do everything at once. And if Ingram doesn't have the confidence to take shots, like, he took the least amount of shots on the team and he didn't play the least amount of minutes by far. So I'd like to see the coaching staff try to figure out other ways to, you know, just a balance of getting him involved as a point forward so he can handle it, but also get him some jumpers.
Right. Totally agree. All right. So I think that'll do it for us tonight. I just wanted to add that I didn't bring up this play, but Julius Randle had a nice read to a cutting D'Angelo in the fourth quarter for the reverse layup. Oh, sorry, it was in the third quarter, but I really liked that action from them. I just wanted to point that out. And really, I think overall for the Lakers, it's not even just the offensive sets, and like, even if they're not all moving crazy directions and screens aren't coming on all directions, I think at the end of the day what Luke has brought is just a mentality shift and mindset where you can just tell that the guys are playing with freedom and they know that they're okay shooting these three-point shots and like pushing the ball down people's throats. I think for a good first three quarters, the Lakers were 23-10 on fast break points against the Hawks, you know? So Just having that license and freedom, you can see how the wonders it does for all of our guys. So it's not even just a scheme thing or like an analytics thing. It's just like Luke saying like, hey, what we want to do is push the pace, shoot a bunch of threes, because you guys are pretty good three-point shooters and we'll always be in a game no matter what. And we've seen that over these last 5 games that the Lakers are always in the games because they're so lethal when they have things going offensively. It's just they got to put things together on the defensive end and for a longer sustained period. So any last thoughts on anything?
Yeah, 2 things. One, I'm frankly shocked at how well they're able to get back into games. Mm-hmm. I know that like this, they've been pushing this whole like let's never quit mentality and let's compete on every play. But it's not just that to me. It's like, in every single game we played, all 5 games we played this season, We've been down by double digits, like between 15 and 20. It's in like every game, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And you close your eyes, open your eyes, and pretty soon we're tied. You know, maybe right. it just happens so quietly, but it happens because we're competing, and we're continuing to get good looks. And you figure statistically they're going to eventually start falling when you're getting wide open looks as much as we've been getting. So that's number one. I'm just amazed by that. And number two, this is for people who, and I don't know if anyone's concerned about this, but if anyone out there is concerned that, okay, well, how is this any different really than 2 years ago with Mike D'Antoni, where we just came in and we were running up the scoreboard and shooting a bunch of threes and running in transition, and it became a shootout. And basically, if we were on that night, we were going to win. If we were not on that night, we weren't going to win. Yeah. And we ended up winning like high 20s or whatever we won that year in terms of wins. How is this any different? Well, this is different because, like you said, we're going to finish the year most likely as like a top five team in pace, which is insane compared to what we've seen the last couple of years. So that's going to run up the number in terms of opponent points. So two stats you're going to want to look at are defensive efficiency is a big one, mm-hmm. and opponent field goal percentage. And although we weren't very good in opponent field goal percentage tonight, coming into this game, we were pretty good. And in defensive efficiency coming into this game, we were right around in the 18 to 20 range.
Wow.
So, look, I know it's a small sample size, but you also have to factor in that because we're two things. One, we are turning it over. We were the number one team in the NBA in terms of turnovers, and I don't mean that in a good way. I mean, we were turning it over the most in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So that's leading to a lot of easy buckets. And besides pure fast break, it leads to a lot of good looks for the opposing team because you're not matched up properly in transition. So. Mm-hmm. That's one reason. Number two, missing wide open shots. And you could say, okay, how is missing a wide open shot versus missing a contested shot any different? It's not different, but there's a difference between missing a wide open shot and making a wide open shot. When you're shooting 34% or 40% on wide open shots and the league average is like 55 to 60%, that means that there's 20% more opportunities for the opposing team to get a rebound and push it, as opposed to them having to take the ball out of the basket and step out of bounds and then bring it in.
Right.
So all of those factors are factoring into why our defense and seems so poor so far. I actually think, and I think if you are actually watching the games and not just stat watching, box score watching, we actually have a plan defensively. You know, sometimes there are complete brain farts, but these guys know what they're doing. There's rotation schemes. There's certain scenarios where it's like, okay, we're going to ice the pick and roll on this case. But like in this case, we're not going to do it. Okay, mm-hmm. when so-and-so starts to go off, we're going to start blitzing the pick and roll. Like there's adjustments being made in game, and there's a general idea of what everyone's supposed to do. It's not like last year where it was like one pick and roll, wide open shot, one pick and roll, wide open layup, like over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And we were pretty much at the mercy of the opposing team having a bad shooting game to win.
Right.
We're actually causing turnovers. We caused 18 turnovers against a team that was functioning at a very high level offensively tonight. And we've been forcing in the high teens turnovers pretty much every game so far. So defensive numbers, don't look at points per game. Look at defensive efficiency and opponent field goal percentage and how many turnovers we're forcing. And all of that stuff should ultimately tell you, maybe don't look now, but in the next few months, that should ultimately show you that we're actually playing much, much better defense despite the high score numbers.
Right, totally agree, and we face off against the Golden State Warriors on Friday.
No. So, enjoy this while you can.
I know, so we'll see. At least I want to see improvement from the preseason where we look shell-shocked to face this Adonis godlike team, and hopefully we settle down at Staples and just make things competitive. So we'll see. With that said, that is our show. Once again, follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes. The more you rate and review us, the more times you'll see Meta World Peace in a blazer, which means he won't be on the court to actually play those random 2-minute stretches. They're always 2 minutes, and like at the end of the third, it's like this weird quirk that Luke likes to play, where it's like, bring out the beast, and then he comes out for 2 minutes, and then that's it. But yeah, so please rate and review us. Tommy, I will catch you later. I love basketball.
I love basketball. In the morning and I'm still awake, and I'm here recounting all of my mistakes.
Hang on my shoulders tonight. Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of 3 Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.